安全工那个军工可能要这里啊，
还是摩擦。
Today's topic is the name of Jesus. The ideas for my sermons can come from many different things. I'm no seasoned professional preacher, right? So I don't have any sort of set pattern as to where the ideas come from. You know, God can inspire in many ways. This one started because of a bad dream I had just the other week. Now, this might come as a surprise to Maya because I didn't mention it to her, because I knew at the time of the sermon topic and I didn't want to give her a preview. Now, I'm not a great dreamer, and often, even if I do have a vivid dream, I don't remember it long and long. But this night I was talking about, I dreamt that someone was sending snakes to attack me. That's scary. It wasn't hugely terrifying, you know. I don't have a sort of huge fear of snakes. I'm not too keen. But the dream was certainly uncomfortable. And I found myself, as I woke up, I was saying to myself, in the name of Jesus, all these thoughts of snakes, be gone. Get out of my head. And very soon, the thoughts were gone. And it was all over with. I don't even remember any of the details of the dream at all. There is that verse in Corinthians that talks about take captive every thought, and that's what was needed then. Now, I don't want to hype up this idea of a dream at all, or turn it into some big thing about spiritual warfare, but it was important. It was important. Big deal. But what it did was it got me thinking about that phrase, about the name of Jesus. And so today let's look at the name of Jesus and how it can be and it should be a really important part in our lives as Christians. The phrase that springs to mind most often about the name of Jesus for me is, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. You know this song. It comes from an old hymn written in the 1850s, I think it was, something like that. And let's look at the King James Version to see where that comes from. So Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Or, if I read it in a modern translation, the Passion Translation, because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name, in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God his Father. There's another verse to throw in there, which ties in this idea of every knee will bow. Romans 14:11. For it is written, as certainly as I live, declares the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will praise God. The important thing to note is that this image of knees bowing doesn't necessarily imply willingness. There are Old Testament stories which refer to people's knees quaking when they see God's power. There are times when we all have to recognize authority, even if we don't want to. At a trivial level, think of that sinking feeling when the traffic speed camera flashes at you. You can't recognize authority. And the authority in the name of Jesus comes about because of who Jesus is, because of the position that he occupies. He is exalted to a high place of honor, indeed the highest place, the throne of God. That authority and our ability to exercise it can play an important part in our everyday life. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came up and told them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, as you go, disciple people in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you each and every day until the end of the age." See how that passage ties together the idea of Jesus' authority and his presence with us every day. Because he's with us, we have his authority, his power. That's very significant. Indeed, if we grasp it fully, it's mind-blowing. Here's another passage about something Jesus did near the start of his ministry. This is just after Jesus began to recruit his disciples. And as I read it, I want you to look out for two things. Firstly, how Jesus used his authority. And secondly, how his authority was recognized by all involved. So, this is Mark 1, verse 21. Then they went to Capernaum. As soon as it was the Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were utterly amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them like one with authority and not like their scribes. Suddenly, there was a man in the synagogue who had an unclean spirit. He screamed, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." At this, the unclean spirit shook the man, cried out with a loud voice, and came out of him. All the people were so stunned that they kept saying to each other, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He tells even the unclean spirits what to do, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread through the surrounding region of Galilee. So, did you see that in that passage, Jesus knew that he was in control of the situation? He knew he had the power to command these evil spirits and simply told them to leave. His authority was recognized by the spirits. He had no choice but to obey. Whenever you feel that something's getting in control of a situation, think of that evil spirit saying, "Have you come to destroy us?" That shows who's really in charge. If you ever need to tune into God's power in a conflict, think of how that spirit screamed and quaked before Jesus' authority. Also, think of can people recognize Jesus' authority after they saw the result of his action? When they saw the outworking of Jesus' power, they understood that this was somebody really, really special. All the signs and wonders which God does, both in the New Testament and later, are exercises in God's authority. Whether it's healing a blind man or telling the storm to stop, see what God can do. His power is infinite, and that's a big word. So, at the name of Jesus, everything has to acknowledge who he is, to recognize his power, and to bow the knee before him. This bowing of the knee can be either willingly, when we happily get on our knees to show our love, or it can be unwillingly, where we shake so much from fear that we fall on our knees. The name of Jesus brings with it the authority of Jesus. When Jesus arrives, we all get weak at the knees. So, the phrase "at the name of Jesus" talks about his authority being recognized. But let's see another thing. We can go in the name of Jesus. That is, we, all his people, carry that authority with us. Because he gives us that authority. He shares his name with us. He gives us the right to use his name because we follow him. So, think about some movie. Right? Think of a medieval knight in armor calling out, "Stop in the name of the king!" Now, you might be pointing a sword at the bad guy's throat at the same time. Or, if you prefer a different picture, think of it. A policeman saying, "In the name of the law." It's all to do with someone being given the authority. And they're given that authority because they've got a task to perform. Or if you've got different tastes in movies, how about a western where the town sheriff deputizes a bunch of guys to send them out as a posse to chase the guys in the back and the black hats? These deputies carry the authority of the sheriff because they've got a job to do. And Jesus gives his authority to his followers. And that's unconditional. There's no ifs, there's no buts. It's not if you do something special. He gives you that authority freely. He invites us to do as he did. And that's what it means to follow. And it can be dramatic. Listen to this from Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 16. Once, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of fortune-telling and who had brought her owners a great deal of money out of predicting the future. She would follow Paul and us and shout, "These men are servants of the Most High God and are proclaiming to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days until Paul became annoyed and turned to her and told the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus the Messiah to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. So that story is very similar to how Jesus cast out the demon in Capernaum. It's not identical, because every situation is unique. And we are to obey the Holy Spirit, not follow a formula. In fact, there's one lovely bit in that story. about how the disciples were motivated to do this miracle. If you look closely at verse 18, they put up with this work of the enemy for many days. And then Paul became annoyed. I'm not sure that we normally think of being annoyed as the motivation for miracles. But think of Jesus in the temple. There is a limit to how much of the work of the enemy we should put up with. So, we have the authority of Jesus to act in the name of Jesus, to do the work of Jesus. And the incredible fact is that this authority, his authority, can overcome anything. There's no power that can stand in the way of God's power. Romans 8:35, and this is the King James again because I like this sort of poetic bit of it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Wow. No matter what is opposing us, we can challenge it. We can overcome it. In the authority of Jesus. That fullness means neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That basically means there is absolutely nothing that can stop God. And that basically means that no matter what is opposing you in doing God's work, the name of Jesus can overcome it. So what's pestering you today? What's dragging you down? Whether it's demonic spirit or worries about the future, the name of Jesus is far more powerful. So how do we exercise the authority of Jesus? With great care. Doing something in Jesus' name means doing it with his authority and also with his attitude. It's in combining Jesus' power and Jesus' heart that we truly follow in his footsteps, in his name. As his representatives, we need to ensure that we're acting in his will. We need to be fervent in following the lead of the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what he asks is how we walk in the authority of Jesus. Satan and his demons recognize the authority of Jesus. They know that they can't stand against his power, but they will try to bluff us into not taking God too seriously. It's like any bully. Lots of noise and big talk and bluster, but when confronted by real authority, they run away scared. We can confront and oppose evil in the name of Jesus, in the nature of Jesus. We don't need any special powers or special training. It's just a knowledge and confidence in the God who saved us. That's what faith is. That confidence of really knowing deep down that God is all powerful and all loving. It's not us who oppose the evil. We're only here as physical human representatives of God Almighty. And as His ambassadors, we can speak in His name. As His child, we can be assured of His care for us. We can say, stop this in the name of Jesus. And it carries weight. Because we're speaking on His behalf. We're speaking in His authority. So the next time something blocks you, try to say it in the name of Jesus, be gone. Indeed, sometimes we even need to say it out loud. But be sensitive to the situation. It's not often that you need to say that to somebody's face. Most people don't react well to those statements. Don't use God's name in vain. Jesus' authority should not be abused and should only be done when we know that God wants us to. There are times when Christians have tried to use the authority of Jesus' name for things that God doesn't want. And that's not acceptable in God's eyes. This applies to historical things like the justification of slavery, all the way through to everyday things, like liberal misogyny in many churches today. If we abuse Jesus' authority, we play into the enemy's hands. Jesus' name is to be used with reverence and never to be taken lightly. To act properly in the name of Jesus, we need to line our hearts and desires up with the heart of Jesus. That requires us to regularly take a good hard look at our own motives. If we are invoking the name of Jesus into situations, let's ensure that we have clean hands and a pure heart. Actually, let's look at that verse in situ and see how the state of our heart is so closely tied into the glory of God. So, that clean hands and pure heart comes from Psalm 24, and I'll start in verse 1. And this is the good news, by the way, because it keeps it nice and simple. The world and all that is in it belong to the Lord. The earth and all who live on it are His. He built it on the deep waters beneath the earth and laid its foundations in the ocean depths. Who has the right to go up the Lord's hill? Who may enter His temple? Those who are pure in act and in thought, who do not worship idols or make false promises. The Lord will bless them and save them. God will declare them innocent. Such are the people who come to God, who come into the presence of the God of Jacob. Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors, and the great king will come in. Who is this great king? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord victorious in battle. Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors, and the great king will come in. Who is this great king? The triumphant Lord. He is the great king. So can you picture that? Those who are right in their heart are the ones who are close to God's throne. Those whose heart and motives are pure in God, in God's presence, we are the ones who have the right to speak in his name and with his power. When we're acting in the name of Jesus, we carry his authority. And that brings with it many other things. His character, his nature, his heart, his love, his position, and his power are all tied together. But we should also think about Jesus' methods, his manner of doing things. In particular here, look at the miracles that Jesus performed. There were very many miracles in the New Testament, and it's fascinating to see that they were all different. Read through some of the stories of how Jesus healed folks, or cast out demons, or turned water into wine, or walked on water, or calmed the storm. What Jesus did in every case was different. And even when the need was the same, the way that he met that need was different. So, following Jesus isn't a script. Using the name of Jesus isn't some abracadabra. It's not some Harry Potter spell, right? Jesus' method was different on every occasion. Even a quick look at the miracles shows us just how there's no playbook, there's no strategy to apply to see God move. It's in God's will and with God's desire that miracles happen. So if somebody tells you, if you do A, B, and C, then God will do X, Y, and Z, they're probably trying to sell you something. Expect God to be unique in every situation. Be prepared to do things differently every time the Holy Spirit speaks. Jesus listened to the Holy Spirit, followed the instructions. That's exactly what acting in the name of Jesus means. And one final thought when we're talking about acting in the name of Jesus. We should be praying at all times and in every way imaginable. Thessalonians tells us to be constantly joyful, prayerful, thankful. When we see what Jesus did, we see that prayer is most effective when we also do something. I can't think of a case where Jesus said, I'll talk to my father about that, and then walked on. He got involved, he touched, he spat on the ground, he gave instructions. He went there. In every case, he was active. Jesus didn't pray and walk on. He reached out, he visited, he intervened in some way. So, when we're praying for a miracle, also ask yourself what God wants you to do in that situation. When God next puts something on your heart to pray for, certainly bring it to God. Pray about it. But also think, what can I do? Can I give something? Should I go there? Can I give somebody a lift? Should I talk to somebody about this? Is there a group I should join? Is God asking me to march in protest? Can I sit down and spend some time listening to this person? There are no right and wrong answers to these questions. And it will vary in every place and for every person. Exercising Jesus' authority means being plugged into what Holy Spirit is saying in that situation. Sensitive to God's voice in the middle of turmoil. And And the last thought today is that listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what He asks is how we follow in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, let's just take a minute and let me pray for all of us. And let me say, if you find it hard to exercise God's authority, to speak in Jesus' name, then join the club. We all do. Let me just pray for each of us that we will have a little bit more boldness. The Bible talks about boldness in the Spirit. And part of that is the willingness to bring Jesus' name into situations. To say to somebody, God can fix that for me. Let me pray for you. You see, God's done something for me. Jesus is wonderful. Bringing those thoughts, bringing those prayers into situations is part of what God wants us to do. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I do ask that you will give each of us that confidence in your love and in your presence that allows us to think your thoughts, to speak your name, to open up the gates and let you into every situation that we see. Father, help us to oppose evil in the name of Jesus. Help us to promote your love in the name of Jesus. Help us to reach out with your power in the name of Jesus. Father, for everyone here today, I just ask that you will give us that love that bubbles up and pours out. Father, allow us to listen more to the Holy Spirit day by day. And Father, I just ask you to pour your Holy Spirit out on each of us, that we may breathe in and breathe out the Holy Spirit as easily as we breathe in and out the air that is around us. Father, let the name of Jesus be on our lips day by day and minute by minute. And over this next week, Father God, help us to use your name rightly, to lift your name on high and to recognize the authority that makes everything quake at the name of Jesus. So Father, I do ask your blessing on each of us here today, that we will follow in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.